quality.
Log Talk Radio.
This is Yasa Sagonige, a seventh grade grandson of Samanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You're listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. Folks, the scriptures say my people perish for lack of knowledge. We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Before he passed away in 1985, Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends, and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all 145 past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you. Prophecy Keepers does need money to continue to operate. We had a very close call at the end of last month. We almost didn't raise the funds that we needed to stay here on Blog Talk Radio. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look. OCO, Aginalii, this is Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the Cherokee Nation.
I learned that Native people have many prophecies about this time.
begin to hear these over and over. And so I kind of more or less memorized a lot of them. And what I'd like to do now is share with you some of those. You know, every day now on the TV, I hear what the elders talked about back then. Even just last night, there's a sign that's to come before the third shaking of the earth, which I'm going to get to. I'll explain what all these mean. Last night on the news, they were talking about it. We'll come up to that. They say at the beginning of each cycle of time, the Great Spirit comes down through a messenger. He makes a strong appearance upon the earth, and we are coming to an end of a cycle now. It's not the first cycle. There was a cycle of spirit. There was a cycle of the mineral, the rock. There was a cycle of the plant. And now we're in the cycle of the animal, coming to the end of that and beginning the cycle of the human being. When we get into the cycle of the human being, the highest and greatest powers that we have will be released to us and be released from that light or soul that we carry to the mind. But right now we're coming to the end of the animal cycle when we have investigated ourselves and learned what it is to be like an animal on this earth. And at the beginning of this cycle of time, long ago the Great Spirit came down and he made an appearance. He gathered the peoples of the earth together, they say, on an island that is now beneath the water. And he said to the human beings, he said, I'm going to send you to four directions, and over time I'm going to change you to four colors. But I'm going to give you some teachings, and you will call these the original teachings. And when you come back together with each other, you will share these so that you can live and have peace on earth and a great civilization will come about. And he said, during this cycle of time, I'm going to give each of you two stone tablets. And he said, when I give you those stone tablets, don't cast them upon the ground. Because if any of the brothers and sisters of the four directions and the four colors cast their stone tablets on the ground, not only will human beings have a hard time, but almost the earth itself would die. And so he gave us each a responsibility, and we call that the guardianship. And to the Indian people, the red people, he gave the guardianship of the earth. And we were to learn during this cycle of time the teachings of the earth and the plants that grow from the earth and the foods that you can eat and the herbs that are healing. So that when we came back together with the other brothers and sisters, we could share this knowledge with them, because something good was to happen on the earth. And to the south, he gave the yellow race of people the guardianship of the wind, and they were to learn about the sky and breathing and how to take that within ourselves for spiritual advancement. And they were to share that with us in this time. And to the west, where there's blackness of night, he gave the black race of people the guardianship of the water, and they were to learn the teachings of the water, which is the chief of the elements. It is the most humble and also the most powerful. When I went to the University of Washington and learned that it was a black man that invented blood plasma, it didn't surprise me, because blood is water. And the elders already told me that black people would bring the teachings of water to humanity. And to the north, where there's white snow on this continent, he gave the white race of people the guardianship of the fire. And if you look at the center of many of the things they do, you will find the fire in this light bulb. They say that is a white man's fire. If you look at the center of a car, you will find a spark. If you look at the center of the airplane, the train, you will find the fire. And the fire moves, also consumes. This is why it was the white brothers and sisters that began to move upon the face of the earth and reunite us as a human family, because they had the guardianship of the fire. This was their responsibility. And so a long time passed, and the Great Spirit gave each of the four races two stone tablets. Ours are kept at the Hopi Reservation in Arizona, at Four Corners area on Third Mesa. I've talked to people from the black race of people. Their stone tablets are at the foot of Mount Kenya. They are kept by the Kikuyu tribe. I once had the honor of presenting a sacred pipe of the Kikuyu tribe carved from the red pipestone of Mount Kenya. One time I was at an Indian spiritual gathering about 15 years ago, and a medicine man from South Dakota put a beaded medicine wheel in the middle of the gathering, and it had the four colors and the four directions. And he asked the people, where is this from? And they said, oh, probably Montana, South Dakota, maybe Saskatchewan. He said, this is from Kenya. It was beaded just like ours, same colors. The stone tablets of the yellow race of people are kept by the Tibetans in Tibet. And the guardians of the traditions of the people of Europe are the Swiss. In Switzerland, they still have the mass day when each family brings out its mask. They still know the colors of their families. They still know their symbols, some of them. I went to school with some people at the University of Washington from Switzerland, and they shared this with me. Each of these four keepers happened to be people that live in the mountains. If you went straight through the Hopi reservation to the other side of the world, you would come out in Tibet. The Tibetan word for sun is the Hopi word for moon, and the Hopi word for moon is the Tibetan word for sun, because they're on the opposite sides of the world. There was some people from the yellow race of people. In 1976, because the United States was celebrating 200 years of freedom, they having this bicentennial. Some of the Native people thought this was significant, and they carried a sacred pipe bundle from the west coast to the east coast of this land. And I particularly was thinking last night as we were having a circle out here about this. They said that the roads of this land would either go north-south or they would go east-west. If they went north-south, we would come together as brothers and sisters. But if they went east-west, there would be destruction, and almost the earth itself would have a hard time. So you all know the roads went east-west. They said things then would be lost from the east to the west and the north to the south, but they would come back from the west to the east and come back from the north to the south. They would be lost from the south to the north. So 9 years ago in 1976, from the west to the east coast of this land, from San Francisco to Washington, D.C., people carried a sacred pipe bundle by hand on foot across this land. My aunt had dreamt 15 years earlier, and that dream was in a book, that people would throw rocks and bottles at that pipe bundle as they carried it across the land. People that didn't like them. Sure enough, that came about. People threw, but as my aunt seen it in her dream, it only come so far, and then they dropped, and nothing touched it. When they got up to the top of the Rockies, they hit a hard storm, and there was an elder man, he had long white hair, he said, I will carry it now. They had a van, and then they had people walking by the van carrying that bundle, and the old man got out of the van, he carried it clear through that storm. He was so cold when he got back in the van that somebody touched his hair and it fell. His hair was frozen. You have to be really cold for your hair to freeze, but that old man carried it through that storm, because they said if we carry this bundle across the earth, the powers would begin to come back. It was carried from west to east. They said a spiritual fire would be lit in the north, and it would come down the northwest coast of this land, and when it gets to Puget Sound, it will go inland. I think this, 9 years later, is the gathering in the north, myself. That's why I came here. This is it. We have the capacity to start the spiritual fire now here. The old people long ago seen it and foretold it, and I'm going to come to that. So we went through the cycle of time. Each of the four races went to their directions, and they learned their teachings. It was in Newsweek magazine not too long ago that 8 out of 10 foods that people eat on the earth were developed here in the Western Hemisphere, because that was our guardianship, to learn the teachings of the earth and the things that grow from the earth. And we were given a sacred handshake to show when we came back together as brothers and sisters that we remembered the teachings. And it was indicated on the stone tablets that the Hopis had, that the first brothers and sisters that would come back to them would come as turtles across the land. They would be human beings, but they would come as turtles. So when the time came close, the Hopis built a special village to welcome the turtles that would come across the land, and they got up in the morning and looked out at sunrise, and they looked out across the desert, and they saw the Spanish conquistadors coming covered in armor like turtles across the land, for this was then. So they went out to the Spanish man, and they extended their hand, hoping for the handshake, but into the hand the Spanish man dropped a trinket. And so word spread throughout North America that it was going to be a hard time, that maybe some of the brothers and sisters had forgot the sacredness of all things, and all the human beings were going to suffer for this on the earth.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit india-herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
And to doing this. And they begin to tell us at these gatherings, they said, in your lifetime, you're going to see things happen. It was strange when they said it in the 1950s and 1960s, but now it seems very clear, but then it was unusual. They said, you're going to see a time in your life men are going to become women. They said, the Great Spirit, he's going to make a man on the earth. He made him a man, but this man's going to say, I know more than the Great Spirit. I'm going to change myself to be a woman. And they will even nurse children. They said, the Great Spirit's going to make a woman on this earth. She's going to say, I know more than the Great Spirit. I want to be a man. And she will be physically a man. This sounded strange. And maybe in their vision they saw Boy George. I don't know. They said, you're going to see a time in your lifetime, the human beings, they're going to find the blueprint that makes us. They're going to find the blueprint that makes us. They call that now DNA, dionucleic acid. And they said, they're going to cut this blueprint. They call that now genetic splicing. They said, they're going to make new animals upon the earth. And they're going to think these are going to help us. And it's going to seem like they do help us. But maybe the grandchildren and great-grandchildren, they're going to suffer. I don't know if you heard on the news last month in the United States now, they have genetically spliced a new germ never before released in the environment. They want to release this germ into the cotton fields of the South. They say it will rejuvenate and strengthen the cotton. They had scientists on the CBS Evening News the other night talking about it. And one scientist, he said what the elders said in 1950. He says, this will not harm us. We put it in a lot of tests. And the other scientist, he said what the other elders, he said what the elders also said. He said, no, this has never before been in the environment. We have no idea what it would do. But the elders spoke of it long ago. They said it would seem harmless, but it may be it will hurt the great-grandchildren. The elders said long ago, they will release these things. They will use them. This is going to be released not too long from now. They're making new animals. The elders talked about this. They said, you will see new animals, and even the old animals will come back. Animals that people thought had disappeared, they will find them here and there. They begin to reappear. They said, you will see a time, about this time, they said, there's going to be a time, and I know that many of you are from tribes that also have this prophecy. They said there's going to be a time when the eagle will fly its highest in the night and it will land upon the moon. Some tribes say the eagle will circle the moon. Some tribes say the eagle will fly its highest in the night. And at that time, they say, many of the native people will be sleeping, which symbolically means they have lost their teachings. Or some tribes say it will be as if they're frozen, they've been through the long winter. But they say when the eagle flies its highest in the night, that will be the first light of a new day. That will be the first thawing of spring. Of course, at the first light of a new day, if you stayed up all night, you notice it's really dark. And the first light, you want to see it, but you can't. It sneaks up on you. You want to see it change, but it was dark, and then pretty soon it's getting light before you know it. We're at that time now. The Eagle has landed on the moon, 1969. When that spaceship landed, they sent back the message, the Eagle has landed. Traditional Native people from clear up in the Inuit that have shared with us, they have this prophecy, clear down to the Quechuas in South America who share with us, they have this prophecy. When they heard those first words, the Eagle has landed, they knew that was the start of a new time and a new power for Native people. There is absolutely nothing strong before us now. We may do anything we wish. In 1776, when the United States government printed the dollar in one claw, if you've ever noticed, there's an olive branch in this claw. They said that represented peace. The Indian elders shared with me in South Dakota, where Kevin's from, to them that represents the enslavement of black people. In the prophecies of the Six Nations people, they say there will be two great uprisings by black people to free themselves. We've seen one about 1964. There will be a second, more violent one to come. But I'll get back to what that means in a minute. And the other claw is 13 arrows. The founding fathers of the United States said that represents the 13 states. But they say the elders, that represents the enslavement of Native people. When the Eagle landed on the moon, they decided to print a special silver dollar to commemorate that. I don't know how many of you noticed it. The original design showed the spaceship landing on the moon, but at the last minute it was changed to an actual eagle. And in the eagle's claws is the olive branch, but the arrows are gone. And the elder said, that's our prophecy. We have been released. There was one more uprising coming for the black race of people, and then they will be released. And this is also going to have an effect on Native people, a good effect. And there's a whole other set of prophecies from the Iroquois people about that, but I won't have time to go into this morning. But we're in that time now. We're between the first light of a new day and the sunrise. The sunrise is about to come. When it comes up, everyone is going to see it. But you know how it is in the village. There's a few people that get up early, and there's some that sleep till noon. I'm probably one of those that sleeps till noon. And he said, when that eagle lands on the moon, the powers begin to come back to us. And you know, as an alcoholic person, I feel that one of our greatest diseases is alcoholism. And within 7 days of the time the eagle landed on the moon, the first Native alcoholism program was started on an Apache reservation in Arizona. Within 7 days of the time the eagle landed on the moon, the Freedom of Indian Religion Act was introduced into the United States Congress. Eventually it was passed in November. In 1978, it was signed by President Carter, I believe it was November 10th, making the song that Kevin sang legal to sing in every state of the United States. It was punishable at one time to go to jail for 10 years and or a $10,000 fine for singing a song or doing a sweat. This was changed in 1978. The legislation was introduced in 1969, less than 7 days after the eagle landed on the moon. These are the physical manifestations of the spiritual prophecies that we have. So he said, at this time, you're going to see things will speed up. The people on the earth will move faster and faster. Grandchildren will not have time for grandparents. Parents will not have time for children. It seems like time is going faster and faster, and the elders advise us, as things speed up, you yourself should slow down. The faster things go, the slower you go. Because there's going to come a time when the earth is going to be shaken a third time. The Great Spirit has been shaking the earth two times, the First and Second World Wars, to remind us that we are a human family, to remind us that we should have greeted each other as brothers and sisters. We had a chance after each shaking to come together in a circle that would have brought peace on earth. But we missed that. Last night they were talking on the news about the sign for the third shaking of the earth. I heard it sitting in the airport after I missed my plane. They said they're going to build what the elders called the house in the sky. In the 1950s, they talked about this. They will build a house and throw it into the sky. When you see people living in the sky on a permanent basis, you will know the Great Spirit is about to grab the earth. This time, not with one hand, but with both hands. Many of you, from any background, may have heard the spirits will warn you twice, but the third time you stand alone. We've had two warnings, the first two world wars, but now we stand alone in the third one. As it says in the Baha'i writings, there will be no one protected. When this house is in the sky, the Great Spirit is going to shake the earth a third time, and whoever dropped that gourd of ashes upon them, it's going to drop. They say at that time there will be villages in this land so great that when you stand in these villages, you will not be able to see out. And in the prophecies, these were called villages of stone, or prairies of stone. And they said the stone will grow up from the ground and will not be able to see beyond the village. And at the center of each and every one of these villages, there will be native people, and they will walk as hollow shells upon a prairie of stone. They said hollow shells, which means they will have lost many of their traditional understandings. They will be empty within. They said after the eagle lands on the moon, some of these people will begin to leave these prairies of stone and come home.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, this is Will Bluehour speaking on behalf of Native Remedies. As the systems of the body are interrelated, proper functioning and health occurs when they are in balance and harmony, so it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to caring for your body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in the body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and help prevent future disease. Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathics are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is actually suppressed here in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathics. Did you know that the cure for malaria was developed by the man that invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Visit the front page of prophecykeepers.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out what all the excitement's all about.
I'm doing this. And they begin to tell us at these gatherings, they said, in your lifetime, you're going to see things happen. It was strange when they said it in the 1950s and 1960s, but now it seems very clear, but then it was unusual. They said, you're going to see a time in your life men are going to become women. They said, the Great Spirit, he's going to make a man on the earth. He made him a man, but this man's going to say, I know more than the Great Spirit. I'm going to change myself to be a woman. And they will even nurse children. They said, the Great Spirit's going to make a woman on this earth. She's going to say, I know more than the Great Spirit. I want to be a man. And she will be physically a man. This sounded strange. And maybe in their vision they saw Boy George. I don't know. They said, you're going to see a time in your lifetime, the human beings, they're going to find the blueprint that makes us. They're going to find the blueprint that makes us. They call that now DNA, dinucleic acid. And they said they're going to cut this blueprint. They call that now genetic splicing. And they said they're going to make new animals upon the earth. And they're going to think these are going to help us. And it's going to seem like they do help us. But maybe the grandchildren and great-grandchildren, they're going to suffer. I don't know if you heard on the news last month, in the United States now, they have genetically spliced a new germ never before released in the environment. They want to release this germ into the cotton fields of the South. They say it will rejuvenate and strengthen the cotton. They had scientists on the CBS Evening News the other night talking about it. And one scientist, he said what the elders said in 1950. He says, this will not harm us. We've put it in a lot of tests. And the other scientist, he said what the other elders, he said what the elders also said. He said, no, this has never before been in the environment. We have no idea what it would do. But the elders spoke of it long ago. They said it would seem harmless, but it may be it will hurt the great-grandchildren. The elders said long ago, they will release these things. They will use them. This is going to be released not too long from now. They're making new animals. The elders talked about this. They said, you will see new animals, and even the old animals will come back. Animals that people thought had disappeared, they will find them here and there. They begin to reappear. They said, you will see a time, about this time, they said, there's going to be a time, and I know that many of you are from tribes that also have this prophecy. They said there's going to be a time when the eagle will fly its highest in the night and it will land upon the moon. Some tribes say the eagle will circle the moon. Some tribes say the eagle will fly its highest in the night. And at that time, they say, many of the native people will be sleeping, which symbolically means they have lost their teachings. Or some tribes say it would be as if they're frozen. They've been through the long winter. But they say when the eagle flies its highest in the night, that will be the first light of a new day. That will be the first thawing of spring. Of course, at the first light of the new day, if you stayed up all night, you notice it's really dark. And the first light, you want to see it, but you can't. It sneaks up on you. You want to see it change, but it was dark, and then pretty soon it's getting light before you know it. We're at that time now. The eagle has landed on the moon, 1969. When that spaceship landed, they sent back the message, the eagle has landed. Traditional Native people from clear up in the Inuit that have shared with us, they have this prophecy, clear down to the Quechuas in South America who have shared with us, they have this prophecy. When they heard those first words, the eagle has landed, they knew that was the start of a new time and a new power for Native people. There is absolutely nothing strong before us now. We may do anything we wish. In 1776, when the United States government traded the dollar in one claw, if you've ever noticed, there's an olive branch in this claw. They said that represented peace. The Indian elders shared with me in South Dakota, where Kevin's from, to them that represents the enslavement of black people. In the prophecies of the Six Nations people, they say there will be two great uprisings by black people to free themselves. We've seen one about 1964. There will be a second, more violent one to come. I'll get back to what that means in a minute. And the other claw is 13 arrows. The founding fathers of the United States said that represents the 13 states. But they say the elders, that represents the enslavement of Native people. When the eagle landed on the moon, they decided to print a special silver dollar to commemorate that. I don't know how many of you noticed it. The original design showed the spaceship landing on the moon, but at the last minute it was changed to an actual eagle. And in the eagle's claws is the olive branch, but the arrows are gone. And the elders said, that's our prophecy. We have been released. There was one more uprising coming for the black race of people, and then they will be released. And this is also going to have an effect on Native people, a good effect. And there's a whole other set of prophecies from the Iroquois people about that, but I won't have time to go into this morning. But we're in that time now. We're between the first light of a new day and the sunrise. The sunrise is about to come. When it comes up, everyone is going to see it. But you know how it is in the village. There's a few people that get up early, and there's some that sleep till noon. I'm probably one of those that sleeps till noon. And he said, when that eagle lands on the moon, the powers begin to come back to us. And you know, as an alcoholic person, I feel that one of our greatest diseases is alcoholism. And within 7 days of the time the eagle landed on the moon, the first Native alcoholism program was started on the Apache Reservation in Arizona. Within 7 days of the time the eagle landed on the moon, the Freedom of Indian Religion Act was introduced into the United States Congress. Eventually it was passed in November, in 1978. It was signed by President Carter, I believe it was November 10th, making the song that Kevin sang legal to sing in every state of the United States. It was punishable at one time to go to jail for 10 years and or a $10,000 fine for singing a song or during a sweat. This was changed in 1978. The legislation was introduced in 1969, less than 7 days after the Eagle landed on the moon. These are the physical manifestations of the spiritual prophecies that we have. So he said, at this time, you're going to see things will speed up. The people on the earth will move faster and faster. Grandchildren will not have time for grandparents. Parents will not have time for children. It seems like time is going faster and faster, and the elders advise us, as things speed up, you yourself should slow down. The faster things go, the slower you go. Because there's going to come a time when the earth is going to be shaken a third time. The Great Spirit has been shaking the earth two times, the First and Second World Wars, to remind us that we are a human family, to remind us that we should have greeted each other as brothers and sisters. We had a chance after each shaking to come together in a circle that would have brought peace on earth. But we missed that. Last night they were talking on the news about the sign for the third shaking of the earth. I heard it sitting in the airport after I missed my plane. They said they're going to build what the elders called the house in the sky. In the 1950s they talked about this. They will build a house and throw it into the sky. When you see people living in the sky on a permanent basis, you will know the Great Spirit is about to grab the earth. This time not with one hand, but with both hands. Many of you, in any background, may have heard the spirits will warn you twice, but the third time you stand alone. We've had two warnings, the first two world wars, but now we'll stand alone in the third one. As it says in the Baha'i writings, there will be no one protected. When this house is in the sky, the Great Spirit's going to shake the earth a third time, and whoever dropped that gourd of ashes upon them, it's going to drop. They say at that time there will be villages in this land so great that when you stand in these villages, you will not be able to see out. And in the prophecies, these were called villages of stone, or prairies of stone. And they said the stone will grow up from the ground and you will not be able to see beyond the village. And at the center of each and every one of these villages, there will be native people, and they will walk as hollow shells upon a prairie of stone. They said hollow shells, which means they will have lost many of their traditional understandings. They will be empty within. They said after the eagle lands on the moon, some of these people will begin to leave these prairies of stone and come home.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of WiseFoods.org. Our native ancestors stored away lots of food in case of emergencies. Thousands of years of sad experience taught them to be prepared. The traditional Hopi stored food enough to last for 7 years. So did the early Mormons. Nowadays, everyone unwisely depends on supermarkets for their food supply, and few people know that there is only a 3-day supply of food in the American food supply chain. Now, should some disaster befall us that would cause the big trucks like I used to drive to cease delivering our food, you'd be in big trouble. It is for these reasons that my family purchased a year's supply of 3 different breakfast and 10 delicious dinner entrees from WiseFoods.org. These foods are freeze-dried right at the field where they are picked and processed and are fresher and more nutritious than any supermarket food. You just add hot water and they're good for 25 years being stored. A year's supply from WiseFoods.org fits in an area about 4.5 feet by 4 feet by 18 inches. I can literally get it all in the back seat area of my Honda Civic. If you stay at home, you won't need to go to a FEMA refugee center should some disaster happen. Did you know that David Ramsey, David Gallagher, Laura Ingraham, and Michael Medved have also invested in Wise Foods? Why don't you visit wisefoods.org today and see why.
But many will not. And they said there's going to come a time when in the morning the sun is going to rise and those villages of stone will be there. And in the evening they will just be steam coming from the ground. They will be as steam. And in the center of many of those villages of stone, when they turn to steam, the Native people would turn to steam also, because they never woke up and left the village. And this used to bother me when I was a young man. I used to ask the elders, is there anything we can do? And they said, well, it's just that way, that if the person does not have the spiritual eyes to see, it's very hard to show them. Or if they don't have the ears to hear, it's very hard to speak with them. We wish that we could go get them all, but we can't. It's just some are not going to wake up. But some will wake up. And so they say there's going to be the third shaking of the earth. It's going to be not a good thing to see, but we will survive it. We will survive it. And when we survive it, then there's going to be another attempt to make a circle of the human beings on the earth. And this time the Native people will not have to petition to join, but will be invited to enter the circle, because they say the attitude towards us will have changed by then. And people will invite us into the circle, and all the four colors of the four directions will share their wisdoms, and there will be a peace on earth. This is coming close. A lot of times when I share this message of the prophecies, people say, can't we change it? Could we stop it? The answer is yes. The prophecies are always either or. We could have came together way back there in 1565, and we could have had a great civilization, but we didn't. Always along the path of these prophecies, we could have came together. We still could. If we could stop racial and religious disharmony, we would not have to go through this third shaking. The elders say the chance of that is pretty slim. It seems to me like it's pretty slim too. But they say what we can do is we can cushion it. The word we use is cushion. We can cushion it. So it won't be quite as bad. How do we do this? We do this by sharing the teaching that will reunite us. The Hopis and the prophecies say there will be a religion that comes here. Maybe it will be true and bring unity, or maybe it will not bring unity. If it does not bring unity, a second religion will come. And the people of this religion are known in the Hopi language as the Bahani, the people of Baha. Ni means people of. So I was looking for the people of Baha. I wondered who the people of Baha were. I was a Baha'i quite a while, but somebody told me that Baha'i means people of Baha. I thought, oh my God. Well, I was looking for it all these years and I never even noticed it. And I found it. I was stubborn and didn't want to become a Baha'i, but my grandfather that passed away, you know, he must have found out about it in the next realm, because he came back to me four times. Told me, hey, look at that again. Look at that again. Look one more time. Baha, it means light or glory. Baha'i means followers of the light, or the people of Baha. We've been waiting for these people a long time. They say they will bring a teaching that will unite the earth. So we need to share this teaching. They say the fire will come from the north. So here we are in the circle in the north, talking about the Bahanis, the people of Baha, and the teachings of Baha'u'llah. When I heard about these, none of them made any sense. But now most of it has come to pass. Last night on the news, they said the house in the sky will be put up in 1996. It was going to be put up sooner, but it's been postponed for 4 years. Maybe it'll be postponed again, but in not too long, it's going to go up. The earth, as we know it, is going to change. Each of us carry, I believe, a sacred drop of light. In the Indian teachings, they say it takes 9 ancestors to agree before conception can occur. 9 ancestors of the husband and the wife have to come together in the spiritual realm and say, we will bring life before a person, woman can become pregnant. At that time, the soul is formed. I delivered my first daughter, and a man who, from the blood reserve, who went to South Dakota and was the first blood to pierce for in 82 years, he came to my house by coincidence 4 days before my wife went into labor. Each night we had a ceremony. And after after the morning of, on the morning after the fourth ceremony, my wife went to labor at sunrise. And that night, at sunset, the daughter was born. And I took her out and I cut the cord, you know, and I noticed that at the Sundance that the Lakota people do in South Dakota, they pass that pipe three times and they don't take it in the fourth time. And even in Washington, I've heard the coming of a child is like the coming of a new pipe. And when I was delivering my daughter, I happened to notice that the skull came out three times. And on the fourth time, her head came out like the coming of a pipe. So I took her out and I cleaned her up and I washed her. And I first I put her on the mother instantly. But then after a few minutes, I washed her up. There was a circle of people just about like this around my wife and praying, and people with different backgrounds. And we looked up and through the ceiling came a small drop of blue light. When it got close to the child, we could not see it. That was her soul. She would carry that light throughout Earth. In that is her special uniqueness as a being, her spiritual power. In that are gifts. After we go through, and then we carry it back here and it radiates to the mind, but for some reason in this cycle, we've been in the lower natures, the animal part, but now we're going into the human world. The mind is going to be opened up to the radiance of that, our own soul. And the cycle of the human beings is going to come about. And something so good is going to happen on this earth, it cannot even be described. They always say it in different ways. They say something like this. They say, there will be grass at that time when they make that circle and bring the peace on the earth. There will be blades of grass that have not quite come through the earth. They will try to push themselves up to be part of that day when the sun rises. They always explain it like this. They say, out here outside this building, long before there was a fairgrounds here, there were Native people. They say many of these Native people in different tribes, they were aware of these things, and they told their children. Their children grew up. You know, one time the people came from the Hopis. Scientists came to the Hopis, and they said, we want to take a piece of the stone tablets. Well, they said, we want to take the stone tablets to a scientific laboratory to determine how old they are. The Hopi said, we know how old they are. Well, the scientist says, we want to confirm it. Well, the Hopis let them take a little piece, and they did that, the carbon dating method. They found these tablets were at least 10,000 years old, maybe 50. So when I say thousands of years ago, there were Native people that spoke of these things, that's exactly what I mean. They told their children. And thousands of years ago, their children grew up and told their children. And then their children grew up and told their children. And they spoke about the people that will live at this time, and now it is us. We are the ones they spoke of long ago. They say to be allowed to become into creation and live upon the earth at this time is a great honor. In the cycle of time, from the beginning to the end, this time that we're in now, the change, the purification of all things, they say this is the hardest time to live, but it's also the greatest honor to be allowed to live and see this. In the state of Washington in 1855, they signed treaties and made 22 Indian reservations. They wanted to do it before there was problems. They thought they were advanced at the time. They had learned from what had happened elsewhere. They made 22 Indian reservations and the elders spoke in 1855 and they said, we're going to become weaker and you're going to become stronger. And if you wish to break these treaties, you may do so. They said that, but there's going to come a time when the earth itself will rise up and purify itself. And this will be announced. It will be announced by the speaking of one of 16 great ones on the west coast of this land. And when the first of the 16 great ones speaks, the purification will have begun. It was a little over 5 years ago when Mount St. Helens, one of the 16 great volcanoes on the west coast of this land, spoke. The Seattle Times did a special interest story. They went over to Watson Totis and Woodrow Bill.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit india-herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
Little son that made this hoop that I brought here today, my good brother Randolph Bill. They asked us and told us in Woodrow Bill, as spiritual people of the Yakima Nation, what does this mean? What they said was so profound that they didn't put it on page 16, they put it on the front page of the Yale Times. They said this means that the races and nations of the earth should slow down and come together and talk to each other. That's exactly what it meant. And we had 4 years and 4 days to do that. 4 years and 4 days later, Mount St. Helens were off a second time. That was last spring, just about this time. That was our grace period. We could have still done something really good, but now things are going to speed up. Now things are going to really happen fast. Time is going to go so fast. The more we share the message, the more we will cushion the third shaking of the earth, then the easier it will be on ourselves and others. A good friend of mine in Montana, his grandmother just passed away last year. The last thing she said to him was, make a place for yourself in the mountains, because the air would become so hot down here where they were at on the reservation, it would be hard to breathe. And it won't be long. It's the last thing she told her grandson when she was passing. Go on the mountains and make a place for yourself. Put some things there that you can survive with. The people are going to run to the mountains to survive, and the Native people must be ready for this. And I know Eugene is going to speak, and I'm only going to speak a little bit longer. He said something that profoundly affected me several years ago at the last gathering about how important it is for Native people to get ready, because it's not going to be long. And they're going to turn to Native people, and they're going to turn to local spiritual assemblies. I know there's a lot of local spiritual assemblies that don't meet, and they think, well, we don't really have that much business. But it's not going to be long. The earth is going to turn to you. Blackout, I believe, foresaw this, and he said there will be a hoop of many hoops that will circle the world. So this is that time. We are now within the purification of all things. Non-natives call this the apocalypse. The native elders call this the purification. I want to share one non-native prophecy with you. There was a prophet, or a seer, not a prophet, but a seer in Europe. His name was Nostradamus. I'm sure many of you have heard of him. He foresaw three great shakings of the earth. He said the third shaking would begin when Lesser Arabia and Persia engaged in a war. 5 years ago, when Mount St. Helens went off, Iraq attacked Iran. Lesser Arabia today is called Iraq. Persia is called Iran. These two prophecies coincide. Both the native elders and Nostradamus said this would start slowly, almost unnoticed by the peoples of the earth, but it will eventually involve us all. Eventually, the gold of ashes will fall from the sky so much that the river that runs through the center of this Turtle Island, the Mississippi River, will boil from the heat of the gourds of ashes that will fall on this land. But don't despair. It sounds terrible, but we will survive it. We will live through it. I don't think anyone chose to live through it, but some people will. So, in closing, I would like to call on each and every person, regardless of who you are, young or old, maybe you're not, maybe to arise now and to awake, to embrace this time, to learn everything you can about the teachings and the writings, to arise and awake and go forth, all the peoples of the earth. You're going to find them. Peoples everywhere are now receptive to the message. This year is the year when that is really going to start, I believe, myself. Arise and awake. That's a phrase from the Dhammapada of Buddha. It is time to arise and awake. Go forth and teach. Walk the road. We call it the good red road. The road that runs north to south. The things that are lost from south to north but come back from north to south. There's people out there waiting to hear. Waiting to hear.
This is Jasa Sagonige, a seventh grade grandson of Samanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keepers Preppers Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault.
of other times let the wind blow. Let the truth be known to all mankind again. Prophecy keeper, prophecy keeper.
Thank you.